And this missionary that went along was English. And you know what they can be like. The English people are very reserved and Americans are out there. That's the generalization, you know. So anyway, the English missionary went along. She'd had the gift of tongues. She'd received it, but she never used it really. And the American missionary said to her in the first meeting, "Do you pray in tongues?" And the English missionary was quite taken aback. She said, you know, English people wouldn't just ask you that. So she sort of hummed and hawed around and said, "Oh, well, no, not really, because, you know, I just don't feel like doing it." And this is what the American missionary said to her, and I love it. She said, basically, get over it. She said, "It's not a gift of emotion, it's a gift of the Spirit. The Bible says if we pray in tongues, you'll be built up. So never mind what you feel about it, just do it." So when I was preparing last night, I thought, oh, I've got a t-shirt that says that. So I thought, if I wear this t-shirt this morning while I'm ministering, you might sort of, you know, when people are ministering, sometimes after a while you tune out or have a bit of a think about lunch or remember that you left the gas on or something or other. You'll still see, just do it. You know, and it's about, I'm sure it has a million meanings, double meanings. You know, these days, doesn't matter what you say, the young ones start snickering because there's a double meaning. You know, does that happen to you, anyone over, you know, 25? There's always double meanings for everything, and there probably is for this, but this morning, it's about praying in tongues. Just do it, because the Bible says. All right, let's look at a couple of scriptures, first of all. Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 to 8. Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 to 8. So it says here, "And being assembled together with them," this is Jesus, "he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" So notice there that one of the things with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is we receive power. And it says, and he says, "You shall be witnesses," not try to be. You will be witnesses because of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because of the power that comes from the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay, and now we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. And it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And this is the disciples, the 120. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And that's what I want to talk about today. Being baptized in the Spirit, and it's not a big theological message today. There's lots of things I could talk about. But today I just want to exhort you in it. I want to exhort you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit if you never have. I want to exhort you to pray in tongues if you never have. And if you have received the gift of tongues and hardly ever use it or never use it, I want to exhort you to use it. You know, my husband Rick has lots of friends who live up in the Castle Hill area, and a lot of them go to the big churches up there. And he was talking to one friend recently, and his friend said, "Oh, I have the gift of tongues, but I never use it. And my wife has never received the gift of tongues, and they've been in one of these big churches for, you know, a long time." And Rick said to him, "I'm surprised, you know, that you don't use that." And he said, "Well, it never gets talked about." So he said to me, "You should talk about it." So here I am. I'm a very obedient, submissive wife. And he's not even here. No, he's on a course, so it's all good. But, so I just thought this morning I want to encourage you, wherever you are in this meeting, you've had it for years. I've been baptized in the Spirit for 43 years. I love it. I love praying in tongues. I do it all the time. And so if you've had it for a long time and you've stopped using it, or you don't see the need for it, or you don't see the worth in it, I'm hoping this message today will exhort you to a different attitude. And so it says, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verses 6 and 7, he says there, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, Paul doesn't specify what the gift is. I personally think it's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I personally think it's the ability to speak in tongues. Paul liked speaking in tongues. He did a lot of speaking in tongues. And often, and mostly, not always though, the gift of the Holy Spirit is imparted through the laying on of hands. It doesn't have to be that way, but often it is. And because he says, stir it up. And then he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." And we know that the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is a baptism of power. And so I believe Paul is saying to Timothy, stir it up. So if you've been baptized in the Spirit a long time and you've let the embers of that fire go down, I want to encourage you this morning, stir it up, because you need that gift operating in your life. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking about Pastor Phil Pringle, how he had an amazing experience where he's praying in tongues, and he began to realize the Holy Spirit was praying through him and speaking to God on his behalf, telling God that he needed to bless him and bless his church. And I was reading something of his where he said this. He said, "I believe it's imperative to pray in the Spirit to be a successful Christian." And he said, "In my life, I can say it is the source of every blessing that I have." That's strong, isn't it? It is the source of every blessing that I have. At this point in his life, he's in his, I think he's the same age of me, so he's only like 22. But now he's in his 60s. He's in his 60s, and, you know, he says that is the source of every blessing in his life. And reading something of Kenneth E. Hagin, he described the gift of tongues as the door to the supernatural. Now, you know, Scripture says in him, in Jesus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And most people find the operative word there, hidden. Well, I never get any of the treasures of wisdom. I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what's going on, you know. Well, Scripture says in him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. One of the ways, not the only way, but a key way, an important way to untap those treasures is by praying in tongues. That's how you unlock the door to what you want to know today. You got a situation you don't know the answer to? Go home and unlock the door. Pray in tongues. It's amazing the revelation you'll get. Maybe not immediately. Sometimes, yes, immediately. I've had it. I've had it, especially, I used to get it a lot doing repairs around the house, would you believe? Because I was single for a long time. You know, I had to learn how to do everything. Change fuses back in those days and everything. And sometimes I didn't know how to. So I'd just pray in tongues, and then I'd see in my mind's eye how to do it. The Holy Spirit had just shown. Sometimes even now, if Rick's out and I blow a fuse, I just go out and I stand in front of the fuse box and pray in tongues, and eventually I'll know which switch to turn. And, you know, if I haven't taken my reading glasses, I can't see what the labels say. So. Just pray in tongues and flip a switch. It's a great gift. It's a practical gift. Sometimes we, you know, over-analyzing it and it's too ethereal or it's this and I'm not sure if God wants me. Look, it's a great gift. The enemy doesn't understand it, doesn't know what you're praying. You unlock all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I'm going to talk about some reasons to pray in tongues in a minute. But, you know, I was baptized in the Spirit a long time ago. And but I'd grown up in a Baptist church. And I thank God for that. That gave me very good grounding and it was a good place. But I went to Goulburn College of Advanced Education to become a teacher and went to the local Baptist church. That was fine. But then we used to, Lindy knows because she went there too, we used to have these practice teaching sessions of 4 weeks where you'd get sent out into the country and you'd get billeted with someone and usually another student was with you. And on one of those treks, I was just out of Nowra in a little school, Torreira, and I was staying on a farm with another student, like a family, but another student from the college was there. And over the Christmas break, she'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And like she was just a ball of fire by the time she got there. And, you know, one night she prayed in tongues and I told her she sounded like a typewriter. And she said, no, and she found a church close by in Bomaderry that was a Pentecostal church. They weren't as common then as they are now. And would you believe, I've since talked to Alison and Steve, and they were probably there that day. They used to go to that church. And so I went there, and I didn't have all the theology. I didn't have all the, is this right, isn't this right? Should I do this? Or I just, in my heart, I just knew it was the right thing to do. When I got home later on, I did all the study and knew from the word that it was right. But at the time, I just went along to this service, and that, you know, it was back in the old Pentecostal days. They used to have an afternoon service, or they'd have a morning service, stay for lunch, and then have an afternoon service, or you'd have an afternoon service, stay for dinner, and then have an evening service. And they had the morning service, lunch and afternoon. So we went to the morning service, lunch, and then in the afternoon they had this time where they prayed for people to be baptized in the Spirit, and they prayed for me. It was the most amazing experience I've ever had in my life. I felt like I was soaring like an eagle. I could feel literally angels' wings all around me. I could feel the breeze of their wings. I could feel them touching me. And I began to pray in the Spirit, and I prayed in the Spirit for about an hour, and then I cried for about an hour, just sobbed. I hadn't probably cried for years and years and years. My mother had died about 3 years earlier, and I'd sort of all just clammed up, and I remember sitting on the front row, and I just stuck my head in my hands and cried, sobbing for about an hour, and then we went home, back to the farm, and I must have just prayed in tongues constantly till it was time to go to school the next morning, you know, because I was on a practice teaching thing. And I wrote letters to all my family and told them to get born again. While I was there, I'd go and sit out on the veranda at the farm and look at the corn. They grew corn like right up high, and I wrote letters. I had a brother in England. I told him he needed to get born again. He must have thought I'd gone crazy, you know, but I was bold, and you got to have this, you know, and then we went back to college, and there was no Pentecostal church in Goulburn, so we went down to Canberra, and we found a pastor down there and said, come and plant a church in Goulburn, and he did, and we would have these meetings, and because most of us were from Sydney, I was from Sydney too. Most of the students were from Sydney. We would have friends and relatives coming down on the weekends to visit. And so we put a car. I rented a house with five other students. That was interesting. And I rode a motorbike, which was even more interesting. And we used to live opposite the pub, which was also very interesting. But we put a car out the front of the house. We had a car out there, and when people came to visit, we would take them out in the car, and we would pray for them to get baptized in the Spirit. And they would. And they'd go back to Sydney praying in tongues all the way. And you know, that's just how it all started for me, and I've never looked back. I pray in tongues every day to this day, and I love this gift. It's the answer to just anything that you don't know the answer to. And so now I'm going to give you some reasons why you should do it too. Okay, first reason is, and I probably won't look at this scripture, you'll just have to take my word for it. is that Jesus said we'd do it. In Mark 16, he said, these signs will follow believers. If you're a believer today, he said, these signs will follow you. One of them is we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But another one was, he said, they will speak with new tongues. So Jesus said, we can do this. He said, we will do it. So I don't quite know what the fuss is and why people hum and ha, but he said we would do it. So that's the first reason. Now, the second reason is to pray in tongues. And I've got four reasons today, but there's like 104 reasons, okay? But I know you want your lunch. So I won't go too long, because you might not come back. So four reasons. First one is Jesus said we would, but the second one is it edifies us, which is sort of a biblical way of saying it builds us up. It recharges the battery. It helps you to become, have that joy of the Holy Spirit, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you're lacking that this morning or any day, praying in tongues helps. Now, we'll look at a couple of scriptures. The first one is 1 Corinthians 14:4. He says, he who speaks, or she, you know, speaks in a tongue, edifies himself or builds himself up or recharges their battery, and he who prophesies edifies the church. Okay, and then in Jude only has one chapter, so Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So it builds you up in your spiritual walk. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I know the answer already. And so you don't have to put your hands up, but I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever felt like giving up? Have you ever felt like giving up in any area of your life? In your Christian walk? In your job? In your relationships? In your health? In anything in life, have you ever felt like giving up?
Yep.
Well, as you pray in the Spirit, that helps with that kind of feeling. Now, I've got lots of stories today. I didn't give you any stories last time, so I got double today. I read a testimony of a missionary woman, and she'd been in Africa for 37 years, and she came back to America. And she was ministering at a church, and some people came forward, and they were getting prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in tongues. And she saw that, and she said to the pastor, what's going on over there? And he said, oh, those people are receiving the baptism in the Spirit and the gift of tongues. And she said, oh, is that what it is? And he said, what do you mean? And she said, well, when I first went to Africa as a young missionary, she said, I thought it would be very glamorous. And she said, and I found myself in a grass-thatched hut, and it was a very, very hard thing to do, be a missionary in Africa. So she said, I would come home to the hut in the afternoons, and she said, I would pray and say to the Lord, I need more of you. I need more power. I need more, or I'm going to have to go home. And she said, and I did that for a number of weeks. I would just pray and say, I've got to have more. I'm going to give up. I feel bad for the people that are supporting me, but I'm going to have to give up if you don't give me more. And she said, and then I noticed when I'd pray that, these strange words would come out of my mouth. So she said, I figured they must have been from God. So she said, I kept praying those strange words. And she said, and then I found out that I didn't feel like giving up anymore. And she was able to stay there for 37 years based on the fact that she would pray in tongues every day. See, praying in tongues also keeps you more aware of the Holy Spirit's presence. You know how it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit? But it's so easy to do that if you're not aware of his presence being with you. I like what Bill Johnson says, where he says, if you go through your day imagining the Holy Spirit like a dove on your shoulder, and you don't want to scare that dove away. You'd be aware of the dove, and you want to make sure you didn't scare that dove off, sort of thing. He said, be aware of the Holy Spirit like that. Be aware that you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't want to talk bad about someone because that's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't want to criticize someone or do anything, you know, push someone out of the way in the line at the checkout or something, because that would grieve the Holy Spirit. Have you just done that, Helen?
No.
You don't want to do that because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You become more aware of that as you pray in tongues. Praying in tongues will help you with bad habits. It'll help you overcome bad habits. It'll help you overcome addictions. It'll help you in a lot of ways. You know, this missionary, Jackie Pullinger, who I talk about from time to time, she became a missionary in the walled city in Hong Kong with all the triad gangs and all the drug abuse. And many of those guys would get born again. Well, they were drug addicts. And she would take them to a place that she had, a rehab kind of place, no medication. And she would just get them into a room with a helper. And every time the sweats came and the pain came and everything like that, they would pray in tongues. And eventually, after about a week, they were free of the drugs. It can help you with bad habits. It can help you with bad behavior. I read one testimony where a fellow, an itinerant minister, was staying in a pastor's house. And he would go for a walk every afternoon, so the pastor's family got to know that in the afternoons he was out. And one afternoon, though, he wasn't out because he had to write some letters, and the pastor's family didn't know that he was still home. And he was just coming into the living room when he heard the pastor's daughter throwing a tantrum, stamping a foot and speaking badly to her mother and carrying on. And when she looked up, she saw this pastor and she said, "I am so sorry that you saw me act like that and speak like that. I don't know why I do this. I just lose my temper and throw a tantrum and I don't seem to have any control over it." So he began to talk to her and they prayed together. And after they prayed together, the girl just worshipped the Lord a little bit and prayed in tongues. And he said, "Do you do that often?" She said, "No." And he said, "If you would pray in tongues every day, the Lord would be able to help you with your tantrums. He'd be able to help you change your behavior. He'd give you the power to do it." And so he left and he went on. He was an itinerant minister and he didn't come back to that church for 2.5 years. And when he came back after 2.5 years, that girl was still there and she pulled him aside and she said, "Do you remember what you said to me about the tantrums and praying in tongues?" He said, "Yes." She said, "I did what you said." She said, "I pray in tongues every day and I've never thrown another tantrum." So if you've got a habit or an addiction of some kind, or something that you feel like you have no control over, but you don't like being like that, can I encourage you to pray in tongues? Because it gives you the power. It gives you the ability to change. Amen? So that's the second reason. First one is because Jesus said we would. And the second one is because it builds us up and it looses that power that Jesus said we would have. And it just helps us to be more thankful, it helps us to be more worshipful, it helps us to be more aware of the presence of God. Okay, third reason is it's supernatural. One of the reasons to pray in tongues is it's a supernatural gift. Look, Scripture talks about the people of God doing good works, and doing good works is part of our mandate. It's important. And it's generally a good way to reach out to unbelievers and just make a connection with them. And, you know, I'm all for that. But the Lions Club and the Rotary Club and lots of people out there do good works. But the thing that sets us apart, Jesus said, first of all, would be our love walk. They'll know you're my disciples by your love. But I think the next one after our love walk that sets us apart is that we are supernatural people. In fact, even being able to love is a supernatural thing. Love people who are unlovely is a supernatural thing. But we are a supernatural people. That's what makes the church different. is that we look for miracles. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And we can speak in tongues and get answers. We can speak in tongues and get all sorts of spiritual uplift and that kind of thing. We don't have to do things like some religions where they have to use special tea towels to wipe up things, or other religions that have to do certain rituals. And you know, I'm not naming any of them, but you know, we don't do that. We are supernatural people. We're connected to the living God. And when you pray in tongues, Scripture says you're talking to God. And lots of times when people are praying in tongues, someone else may interpret, and often just the worship and the magnification of the Lord that you would not be able to put together yourself. As it said on the day of Pentecost, when they all started praying in tongues, there were all sorts of people there that day from different nations, and they said, we're all hearing them praise and magnify the wonderful works of God in our own language. You know, it's a supernatural gift. I remember a number of years ago, Rodney Howard Brown was up at C3 in Oxford Falls, and we had some friends who were part of that church, and she was telling me in the meetings, one of the meetings, he was walking up and down the aisles praying in tongues. That's what he was doing. But they had a lot of people in that service. They spoke English, but they also spoke a second language. And she said those people heard him in their other language saying, come to the paradise of God. Come to the paradise of God. So he was speaking in tongues, but they were hearing in their own native language, come to the paradise of God. It's a supernatural thing. And the other advantage of it is that the enemy cannot understand it. When you're talking to God and praising him in tongues or praying about something, which is the next point, he doesn't know what you're saying. And so it's an amazing supernatural thing that we have been given, and we're invited to use it. I read a testimony of a woman, another missionary. The missionaries like praying in tongues. This missionary had been a missionary in India for 7 years. And she'd come back to America on furlough, and you know, missionaries, they come back for a holiday, but they have to go around and preach in all the churches to raise money for them to go back. And so she was doing her furlough thing, but she was very, very discouraged. And she didn't want to go back to India, and she wasn't going to go back to India. She said, I hadn't told the board yet. I was doing the furlough thing. I was deputizing, that's what they call it, going around from church to church, talking about what they do so the church will keep supporting them. So she said, I was deputizing and doing that, but I was raising the money for other missionaries because I was not intending to go back to India. And so she was in a church and she was sharing about the mission work, and suddenly, no, she was in a Bible school sharing about the mission work, and suddenly one of the Bible school students got up and gave a message in tongues. Just talked for a little while in tongues. And everybody was quiet, waiting for an interpretation. And no interpretation came. And all that they could hear was this missionary woman crying on the platform. And so after a while, she went up to the microphone. She said, there doesn't need to be a public interpretation for this, because that tongue was in the local dialect of the Indians I've been ministering to for the last 7 years. And she said, and in that tongue, the Lord said to me, I have called you to India, and I want you to go back to India. And then the Lord began to explain to her what he wanted her to do when she went back to India. So she went back and she ministered there for another 35 years. But the way the Lord caught her attention was through a message in tongues. That student obviously did not know the local Indian dialect of where she had been ministering for the last 7 years. But he spoke it out. And the Lord spoke to that woman supernaturally. See, supernatural catches your attention. We are supernatural people. We know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that's the third reason. How am I going for time? Oh, not too bad. I'll just slow down now. Yeah, more stories. I got lots of them. So the last one that I want to talk about today is, and there was a scripture for that last point. Maybe it was up there, but I won't go back now. The last one is praying in tongues helps us to pray, or enables us to pray the perfect will of God about any situation. You know, and we're going to look at a scripture in a minute, Romans 8:26-27. But this is an important one, that many times we don't know how to pray for someone. Or many times we pray in English. We know there needs to be more prayer, but we haven't got anything else to say. And that's where praying in tongues is great. Now, I tell you, you hockey girls, you want to pray for Lexi, you pray in tongues. That's the best thing you could do for Lexi. We prayed for her in English a few weeks back. You really want to help that girl, pray in tongues every day for her. If you don't have the gift of tongues, get it. It's free. Just get it and then just do it. But anyway, so praying in tongues enables, yes, that's right. So let's look at the scripture. Thanks, Sarah. Likewise, the Spirit helps us also, helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints and for other people according to the will of God. So as we pray in the Spirit, sometimes, you know, in a situation you think, you know, I don't even really know what your will is here, Lord. So I'm just going to pray about this situation for the next 15 minutes. That's what I've got. And you pray exactly what you want for that situation through me. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. As Phil Pringle said, this is how the Holy Spirit works here on earth, through us. That's how he does it. He does it through the people of God. And if you're not sure how to pray about something, pray in the Spirit. Now, I had an interesting experience on this towards the end of last year. As many of you know, I had surgery in November. So around about end of September, early October, I was starting to have like some tests and starting to notice some symptoms that weren't great. And it was probably about mid-October, I got a text from someone. Some of you know this lady, but most of you wouldn't. She used to come to this church, and she and her husband moved to Queensland probably about 15 years ago. And we're not close now. We have each other's phone number, but we never talk on the phone. And I only ever would talk to her or see her if she comes back down here to visit her parents, and that might only be once a year or maybe once every 2 or 3 years. But anyway, I got a text from her out of the blue around about mid-October saying, I'm praying for you a lot. Is everything okay? Well, at that stage, I didn't think anything was too bad. And I thought, oh, yeah, having a couple of tests, you know, a couple of things going on. Well, she'd been praying for me for like about 6 weeks. Every time she went to prayer, the Holy Spirit said, pray for me. She didn't know what to pray, so she was just praying in tongues for me. Well, I didn't know what was coming up, so my first text was a little bit, everything's okay. I'm having a couple of tests, you know, everything's cool. You know, as time went on, it was like, yes, keep praying, please. Oh, my gosh. You know, it was like frantic, and it was a hard season for us. You know, I went in and had surgery. I came out of hospital on the Saturday. Rick went into hospital on the Monday. I couldn't drive to go and visit him, and I was so unwell. And then eventually, you know, I was going to visit him, but I was exhausted, and it was a hard time. But so comforting to know God had someone in Queensland praying for me probably 2 months before it all came to the horror of it all, and before I knew what was involved, God already had someone praying. Now, she didn't know all my business. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to tell you everyone's business. He'll just tell you to pray for them. Well, you're fairly limited in English. And that's where praying in tongues, he prays exactly what he wants for that person through you. And it's amazingly edifying for you as well. And then often down the track, you will hear about something. And this happens with missionaries a lot and ministers a lot, missionaries in particular, lots of stories where they're out doing something and it looked like they were going to be killed by natives or they had a fever or looked like they were going to die. And the Holy Spirit prompted someone in like Australia or America to pray in tongues at that time, and they did. And it might not have been for 2 years till that missionary comes back on furlough that they realized they were praying for that missionary who was about to die. It's an amazing gift. Next time you lose something, Stuart, pray in tongues. You'll get it back quicker. Took a week, didn't it? Took a week in English. Tongues, you would have had it in a day, mate, in a day. Amen, amen. All right, I'm going to close now because I want to leave time for prayer, but I just want to finish with this. And this is the testimony of the English lady, Jackie, who I talked about at the beginning, who didn't particularly want to pray in tongues, and the American lady encouraged her. Well, she did that. She took it on board, and so, but she was very rigid about it. You know, she's very organized. English people. And she took it on board 15 minutes a day. And she said she would set the timer 15 minutes a day. I'm just going to pray. And she said, I didn't particularly want to do it. I didn't particularly feel like doing it. She just said, I'd promised these American missionaries I would do it, and I did. And she said, after 6 weeks, it took about 6 weeks, she noticed when she was ministering in the walled city. So, you know, she's going up cold turkey to drug addicts and triad gangs and people that would probably stab her as soon as look at her, sharing the gospel. She said she noticed after 6 weeks people were getting saved and people were responding to the gospel. And she thought, maybe my Chinese has improved. And she thought, no. And she said, and I was saying the same things I'd been saying, but people were responding. And then she realized it was because she was praying in the Spirit every day. 15 minutes, that was all she was doing every day. And she was doing it rote, ritual. You know, she wasn't even believing in it at the time. And she said the emotion wasn't there when she did it, but it came afterwards because the results in her life were so different. And so she does it all the time now. And this is what she says. I'm going to close with this. This is what she says. She said, I realized I needed to give the Holy Spirit a hand in my prayers or some right in my prayers. She said, instead of me deciding what I wanted to do for God and asking his blessing, I was asking him to do his will through me as I prayed in the language he gave me. And so he was leading her to the people that he knew were ready. He was helping her to know what to say. And she was, her whole ministry turned upside down from that one small change in her life to just start using that gift of tongues. So this morning I want to encourage you, if you've never received the gift of tongues, I want to encourage you, today's your day. Why wait? If I was offering you $1 million, you wouldn't want to think about it. You'd just think, yeah, I'll take that. This is more valuable. You know, Scripture says, in all you're getting, get understanding. You know, praying in the Spirit brings understanding. Scripture says wisdom is the principal thing. You want wisdom? Get the gift of tongues. You know, so I would encourage you not to overanalyze it. I could give you lots of scriptures, lots of theological backup, but you'd be here all afternoon. And those who've known me for a long time would say amen to that. But I would encourage you not to overanalyze it. Scripture says it's available to us. Paul encouraged people to receive it. Jesus said we would do it. If you haven't received the gift of tongues, I'd really encourage you to do that today. And yeah, just do it. Just get it and then just do it. And if you're a person who has received the gift of tongues, but you didn't see any reason to use it, or you don't use it, or you've just let it, those embers die down, I encourage you to stir up that gift. Just stir it up. You know, if you're worried about your kids, pray in tongues. I once sat next to a woman at an AFCM conference. She had been really high up in the New Age. She was now a Christian. But she'd been really high up, like really high up, you know, and she astro-traveled and did all the stuff. And I said, well, why did you become a Christian? She said, oh, the power. She said, I knew the power in New Age, but she said, boy, when I came up against the power of Jesus Christ, she said, oh, there's no comparison. She said, the power is amazing. And she said, and that gift of speaking in tongues, she said, you wouldn't believe what we have to do in New Age to get some kind of power in what we do. She said, just the fact that you can have that and you can use it while you're driving your car, you can use it while you're washing the dishes, you can be praying in tongues anywhere at any time. She said, Christians don't understand what they've been given. So let's make the most of it. Let's get it. You young people, if you don't pray in tongues, let me say something. I'll probably get shot down in flames. You need to. You just need to get it. Nobody can get through high school, uni, and all the distractions and all the stuff that's out there to get you off track, I don't believe, without praying in the Spirit effectively. Amen? So I'm going to open up the altar, and Mike's going to play something or other. And Kylie's going to hold Levi for him. And I'm just going to open it up for you. If you want to get a refreshing, or even if you just want to come forward and say to the Lord, look, just anoint me afresh. I want to get back to what I had. Or if you've never received that gift and you'd like to receive it, you just come forward or ask someone in the congregation to pray for you, to just lay hands on and pray for you. And just receive that gift of tongues and don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of and everything to be gained. Amen? So, Father, we just commit this time to you. And, Lord, I just commit to you the ones who are humming and hawing. Lord, you know what to say to them to encourage them over the line. You know what to say to them, Father, so that they just take that leap of faith and receive that gift. Father, I pray for those of us who've let that gift die down, the embers are dying down, Father, that we stir it up, because in these last days, we need to be people of power, people of wisdom, people of understanding, and people of discernment. So, Lord, I commit it to you to touch people's hearts and to draw people according to your perfect will this morning, in Jesus' name.